Be back with Grace again. I was just thinking a few minutes ago, I came to Grace as pastor in 1967. A long time ago. But it had many good years here. Brother Greg, wanted to say something about your lesson too. I've enjoyed today being back with Grace and being able to fellowship with the folks here. But there was another group of leaves God wasn't too approved with. Adam made some. I believe he got them off the same kind of tree. Adam made him an apron of fig leaves after he had sinned, and God destroyed that one too. And gave him a blood sacrifice for his sin. It's, again, good to be back with you. It's good to share the Lord's house. Kevin said one time, if I pull out a piece of paper with notes on it, you might as well pack a lunch. I hope you don't look at it that way. But I had the privilege this week on Wednesday night of being at the Big Creek Baptist Church and fellowshipping with them and was able to preach out there. And I'm going to not use that message, but I'm going to use some of the verses this morning that I didn't have time to use out there. I only preached about 40 minutes out there, I think, this Wednesday night, and I left out about half of the verses that I planned on because it just wasn't enough time. And so we won't keep you all afternoon. I know you want to get home and get dinner or go somewhere and get dinner. But we ought to feed first on the Lord's Word and the Lord's provision for us. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you brought your Bible this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Let me say also, I'm thrilled to see some folks with me that in their family, the Green family, he just showed me a picture of Brother William T. and Sister Green that was the first one that ever took me to church. He come get me in. He had an old Jeep and came over, and we walked across the swinging bridge and went over across the creek to meet him. He took us over to a Baptist church. And then we had fellowship from that time on with their family for years and years, and still are great friends of my family and of me, and we're so thankful that they had the opportunity to come and fellowship with us today in the Lord's house here. Good to see some folks that were here also back in 1967 with us. I'm not going to tell anybody's age, but some were here back in 1967 when I came as pastor and still serving the Lord faithfully in the church here. We're thankful to have the fellowship with you too again today. Colossians chapter 1. And let me begin by saying that I'm afraid so many times we are so concerned about doctrine and so concerned about this belief or that belief or what Baptists want to hold as their belief, and we get stuck up on things and we forget to preach Christ. We forget to preach Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If the devil can keep us fussing about some little something that doesn't amount to anything, he'll keep us away from the preaching of Christ. And He'll keep us where we are concerned about other things than the salvation of souls. That's our very reason for being in the Lord's church, is to declare that salvation is in Christ. I know that there are so many things that are so important to me and to you as God's people. The future that we have in Christ. He said, if I go and depart from you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, we've got a future if you're in Christ. But if you're not in Christ, you don't have that future. So it's important that we preach and we teach Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, speaking of our Lord, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You, dear Lord, for the very opportunity that You have given us to come into Your house. We thank You for the presence here of those that we love and we served with so many years in the Lord. We thank You for the fellowship that we share, but Father, we thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, that we might be called the children of God. Father, we just pray today that Christ's name will be exalted, that salvation will be proclaimed, and that it may be believed in the hearts of those that hear. We pray that You forgive us where we fail You, because we pray in Christ's name, for His sake and glory. Amen. These words, we just take them and kind of take these two verses apart this morning and look and see what's said to us. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Most people in this world have no idea what it is to be unsaved. Christ said, you are of your father, the devil. See, that's a pretty harsh thing. Like Brother Greg was saying, we sometimes judge some things and we say things that are very harsh. But to be unsaved is to be of your father, the devil. He tells us again that we don't fight as Christians against the things of this world, against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, Christians fight against that, but unsaved are under that power. They do not know God, and they do not know Christ, and they do not have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in them. That comes by a new birth. That comes from being delivered from the power of darkness. Being taken out of that. Now, we cannot deliver ourselves. No matter how much you try, no matter what you do, there's no way that you can pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and put yourself into the light of the life of God in Christ Jesus. You just can't do that. It's not in our power. The Scripture says we're born of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, being born of the Word of God, which is light and power and strength. It takes something to change you from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, in darkness here He said, you're delivered from that darkness. You're delivered from death, being dead in sin. And you are translated into the power or the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you are delivered, you're moved. You're changed. And the new change is called again the new birth. He said, and it translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated. I remember going, when I first went to Germany, not long afterward, we met some folks there from a German church, German Baptist church, and I would preach, and we'd have a translator translate it to the Germans, and then sometimes the German preacher would preach, and they would translate it back to English so we could understand it. But without a translation, it was just so much gibberish. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You're taken out of the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of sin and put in the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. Whether we recognize it today or not, the Scripture says that our citizenship is already in heaven, from whence we look for our King. We have already been translated. See, that's past tense. You don't have to wait till after you die to know whether you're saved. If you don't know, certainly are not. But being saved is being changed by the power of the living God. It's not the easy believism of this world today that you just walk down the aisle and sign some kind of a pledge card and make some kind of a statement that you want to make a change. It is a work of God's grace upon your heart. It's a work where God speaks to you through His Word that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that Christ was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, there are so many things that are involved in the gospel of Christ, but it's not complicated. The Scripture would tell us that it's simple. It's very easy to understand by the help of the Holy Spirit. But folks, without the Spirit of God, there is no understanding. That's what people don't understand. We are translated from one kingdom to another kingdom, and it brings about the understanding of salvation in Christ. We can, I'll give you an example of this. I knew a fellow sat right back there where Brother John's sitting on the back seat most of the time when he came in. Sometimes if it was full, he'd get up on the next seat. And he came and for, I guess, I don't know just how long, quite a period of time. And he sat there and sat there, and he heard the preaching, and he heard the preaching from time to time, until finally one day he walked up here and he said, "Preacher, I'm saved." I said, "How you know? How do you know?" "Because God has saved me." That's how he knew. There was a work that took place in his heart that wasn't something that first time I had ever talked to the man, he said, "This religion is something I don't want anything to do with. I don't have time for it. It's foolishness as far as I'm concerned. I was standing right beside his gate to the front of his house, and he said, if you want to talk about that, I'm going in the house. I don't want to talk to you. But when God brought it to his heart, and the salvation of his soul by the blood of Jesus Christ, when God made that real to him, he walked down here and said, preacher, I'm saved. A lot of you knew Brother Herman Van Hoos. But he was a member that I had talked to and talked to. But his heart wasn't open. His heart wasn't open. God had to translate the truth to his understanding for him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption. Well, now, when Adam sinned, we all know the story. God slew the animals. But now let's think about something else. Was Adam searching for God after he had sinned? The Scripture would teach us that he was hiding from God. That he even tried to cover his sin by his own works. He made aprons of fig leaves to try to cover his sin. But it didn't work. God said, Adam, where are you? And then Adam, like all of the rest of us, began to make excuse. Well, now, God, you gave me this woman, and she made me do it. Well, God, we just did this, and we did that, and we couldn't. No. It's your responsibility. You sinned. You sinned. But Adam could not undo the sin that he had committed. And he could not undo the darkness and the depravity that had come upon his soul. The Scripture says that in Adam all died. Every soul became sinner, became dead unto God because of Adam's sin. And Adam couldn't undo that. And you cannot undo your own. Adam could not change what had already been done, and neither can you. But by the hearing of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you can believe on Christ. I was thinking about bringing into the message this morning the list, but I can't do that. We'd be here all afternoon. We start through the Scriptures of those that Christ talked to or those to whom Christ was preached, and they simply had one statement, I believe. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The Philippian jailer, I believe. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, who art thou, Lord? Lord, just who are you that you have revealed yourself to me that I can believe you? The Scripture is full of those who were saved by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I don't find anybody in all of the Scriptures who were saved without believing on Christ. I don't find any who were saved without believing on Christ. So think about this when he says, in whom we have redemption. Salvation is not in a church. It's not in some formality of religion. It's in a person. Salvation is in one person, God's only begotten Son. It's in Christ and Him alone. He said, in whom we have redemption, in whom? Not in what. It's not in what. May I say, the believing doesn't save you. Christ saves you. The believing of your heart and the confession with your mouth is because God has put something in your soul to make you understand Christ died for your sins. When you look here, we have redemption. Now, what's that? What is redemption? To buy, purchase. We used to have, when I was growing up, stamps. You got them at the service station. Even some got them at grocery stores. I always bragged. I worked at A&P, and I said, we just give you good prices. We don't give you stamps. But they had those, and then the stamp place had a redemption center. You could take so many books of stamps and go buy something. Well, there's one redemption center for souls, and that's at the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some will do it in this life through the hearing of the gospel. Others will do it at the white throne judgment, only to hear their sentence, depart from me into everlasting darkness. Redemption is the purchase of your soul. The purchase of your soul. I've heard a lot of people say, well, if you never sinned, you'd be okay. Well, let me tell you, that's still not good enough. Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, all of the human race became lost. You're not lost because you sin. You're not unsaved because you sin. You sin because it's your nature. It's your nature. And let me say this, before we get so high and proud of ourselves, we don't get rid of that fleshly nature in salvation. It's a warfare after you're saved, because the nature that we have is still with us. And may I tell you this today, and I say lots and lots of times, I'm much more afraid of living than I am of dying. Much more afraid of living than I am of dying. Because sin is in my nature. And I know that as God's people, we're just as capable of any sin as anybody else. Only for the grace of God that we can have Him to lead us and guide us, strengthen us, that we do not commit some of the sins. But see, redemption is not of the flesh. It's of the soul. When Christ redeemed us, He redeemed the soul. He redeemed that part that was separated in Adam's death and brought us back unto life in Him. But He said, now that redemption had to be paid for. See, God slew an animal and covered Adam's sin. But God slew His Son to cover my sin. Folks, that's what salvation is. God put Christ on the cross because of our sin. There is not one sin ever been redeemed for that was not done on the cross. Now, we try to hide a lot of them. We try to cover them up. But there has not been one sin redeemed for that was not in the blood of Christ. No matter where you search in this Scripture, it's the only redemption, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of religions in this world, but there's only one Savior. There's a lot of dead religious men who have established religions, but they're all dead and in a tomb. But I have a Christ who overcame death, overcame hell, overcame the grave, and ascended back to the Father in heaven as my representative, as my mediator before the Father. That's where I find redemption. Christ, we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Redemption through His blood. Through His blood. I had an experience in Texas that was visiting a church. Well, Lee and I had thought about going there. Until one Sunday night, the preacher made this statement. He said, "The blood that flowed in Christ's veins was the same as ours." And we were in a classroom talking, and I just shuddered. I know it was visible. He said, "You don't agree with me, do you?" I said, "No, sir, I don't." I said, "A child receives its bloodline from the Father. And my Bible says Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. He had the only pure and holy blood that is in the whole human race. And it took that pure, holy blood to cleanse my sin. And if His blood was like mine, then I have no redemption. I have no redemption." Revelation says in heaven we will praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. Why? Because He has washed us from our sins in His own blood. The only holy blood that was ever given, and it is in Christ Jesus. That's why we have redemption through His blood. His blood was the only offering. Then Hebrews tells us it was not just shed on the cross, but as our great high priest, He entered into heaven with His own blood to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ took His own blood to the altar in heaven, and it's applied there as the eternal atonement for our sin. Folks, this is a serious thing because it's of God. It's not a playhouse religion. This is salvation in Christ, God's only begotten Son. And He says, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are washed away. Our sins are cast so far as the east is from the west to be remembered against us no more. Now that's what this work of grace does. That's what this redemption does. Takes your sin and casts it as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more. For the saved, your sins will never be remembered again. When I say this, some people would think I was crazy. But my sins were cleansed, past, present, and future, in the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. They were cleansed, all of them, past, present, and future. And for that reason, I can say that this salvation is eternal. I'm born of God. I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm a child of God. My citizenship is already in heaven. You know, I mentioned this, I believe, Wednesday night, but we talk about all the illegal aliens in our nation that's come from other nations. There are a lot of them. But you know we're illegal aliens too. Our citizenship's in heaven. I'm just looking for a day, and I don't think it's very far off. Looking for a time when I'm going home. Going where Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare it, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the hope of the child of God, is to live in the presence of Christ. Now, there's a future out there. We go up to be with the Lord, then we're there for a little while, 7 years, according to the Scriptures. Then we're going to come back to this same old earth with Christ, but it'll be to live and reign with Him for 1,000 years. See, I'm just in my infancy. 77 years old, but I'm still in my infancy. That's just a baby compared to living and reigning 1,000 years. What I'm trying to say is, this is not just a temporary measure. God's work of salvation is forever and ever. And it applies or supplies you with every need. Every need. Let me turn back and read you my text verse from last Wednesday night and let you just see what I found in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of Him, that is of Christ, or of God, are you in Christ. This is being born again, being saved. Are you in Christ, or in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Christ has made all of those things to me and to you if you're saved. You can't add anything to Christ. He's all you've got, but He's all you need. I ask a question sometimes. If you would do something to seek God's approval, what would you do? If you were going to do something to help God save you or to save yourself, what would you do? What would you do? Oh, I'd turn over a new leaf and I'd make a change and I'd do this and I'd live right at the foot of the cross. Maybe you'd turn over a new leaf for about 5 minutes. Till the first thing went a little bit sour, and then your real person show up. And it still shows up in Christians. But the only thing you can do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all God requires. Even to them that believe on His name. Christ supplies every need. Fills every need and presents you to God the Father, justified, holy, righteous by His own blood. Folks, what can you do compared to that? What can I do? Nothing. We're saved because of God's grace. We're brought out of death because God loved us. Now it's to you who believe. Somebody says, well, how can I believe? You believe because God has given you grace to believe. God has given you faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. God gives you the faith, the understanding to see Jesus Christ as your Savior and to believe Him and confess Him before men. My prayer is that you believe Him and that you'll confess Him as your Lord and your Christ even today. Brother John.